the show, Five Star Fam. I'm AJ, and this is Mark. And wherever it is you get your pods, subscribe, share, and leave us a good rating.
This segment is sponsored by Thinking Man Tavern, a cozy Decatur neighborhood pub. Grab a tasty beverage from a wide variety of selections and a plate of something delicious from the menu. To go, check out Thinking Man Tavern.
Welcome to another Five Stripe Weekly episode, and yes, it is a new season upon us, a new kit as well. The secondary kit was unveiled, and yeah, there was the last preseason match as well, but let's get into that new kit. It's called the Forest Kit, or the City in the Forest, and yeah, definitely interesting. You know, some mint, some green, definitely something that is a bit different, a bit of a departure from what we've had before. And yeah, you know, there's like this kind of geometric shape that's on the kit, and then the shorts themselves are white, and then kind of that mint green for the sock. Yeah, what do you think, Mark?
Overall, it's not bad. I like it. I wouldn't say I love it necessarily. It's a kit I may get in the future. You know, I mean, personally, I don't buy most kits when they first come out. That's just kind of a personal choice thing. I did buy the Unity kit. I did like that one because, you know, felt like it was different enough from what we've gotten before. In this case, you know, I was always excited about the colorway. I guess because it's funny, like at this point I feel like the controversies, you know, it comes with the tradition every kit launch, you know, and so a lot of conversations online about it. I think this year we even got a think piece or two, you know. It's fine, it's all good. Most of those people are gonna end up buying a kit anyway, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think the one thing I think that would have been, you know, so they went with the forest kit name, obviously, and the City in the Forest nickname, played that up a lot. Talked about the sustainability angle and, you know, using recycled materials, which is genuinely like cool. No shade about that whatsoever. I think in terms of the forest, you know, if they had done some foliage or, you know, some trees or something, some sort of distinct pattern, I think that would have been cool. Because I thought they were going to go with a solid color. Now, of course, across the league, there seems to be a sort of blue mint trend. And so, like, Austin has a kind of mint, solid mint kit as it is. And so maybe that was taken into consideration as well. So, yeah, overall, I mean, like, I think it's a decent kit. You know, like I said, I may get it in the future. I'm probably good on kits for now, but yeah, not the best effort, not the worst.
Yeah, and it's that, yeah, the sustainability part is awesome. You know, the 2-year lead up for most of the kits in MLS, you know, you can tell, like, with the rollout that they put out there, like the effort that is completely you know, that goes into this. And so it's definitely absolutely commendable. You know, the Piedmont Park event looked amazing and looked like a mini music midtown of sorts, and so definitely, yeah. You know, I think you know, pats on the back for the marketing team, for the team, for you know, putting that all together. Now, how mint comes into play for the actual city of Atlanta and greenery, it's like, are we, you know, do we have a whole bunch of mint trees? Like, what's what does this have to do with? And so, yeah, sure, you know, City of the Forest, all that, but, you know, if we're gonna go with, like, maybe say, what's the, I forget the tree that's, like, most common in Georgia, you know. Maybe it's pine. Maybe it's one of those. I can't remember. But
I mean, I feel like it's pine trees, right?
Right.
Off the top of my head, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's definitely a level of something that you know, maybe it's that, like a pine green or something. Okay, yeah, that actually kind of, I think, is a little bit more poignant. But, you know, either way, I like the kit itself. I will say, I like the kit itself. The shorts, yeah,
yeah. What?
But I get it. Totally, it's got to be a little bit of a contrast. It's maybe like the Strawberry and Concrete one that was from 2017, where, yeah, they wore the white kits with that, or, you know, white shorts with that kit, only because if it, you know, clashed with another club's, you know, on the field, then, okay, you know, you have your chain shorts too. And the Strawberry and Concrete with the strawberry shorts, I think, looked a lot better. And so hopefully we have a chain short with the mint color. That would be a lot, I think, a lot nicer, a lot more interesting. But either way, yeah, you know, there's definitely some level of, I think, they need to be able to spruce it up just slightly on occasion. But yeah, so moving on from that, though, yeah, there will be some a little bit of a Forest Kit tour that will go throughout the city and the state, so that'll be fun. So they can check out at Pullman Yard, at Plaza Fiesta. Good old Plaza Fiesta.
One thing I will say, in terms of the mint collection, I guess this is going to be, you know, like the hoodies that they've been wearing, I think, on their travel days or whatever. I would buy that hoodie for sure. So, like, I still like that color overall. I, you know, depending on what gear they roll it out with, I might get something from that collection. So,
yeah, no, exactly. It's a There's some good things to like about it, for sure. It's you know, it's one of those things where that's why, like, the Parley kits, some of the other ones that are kind of a little bit a different color, but still LA United colors, or maybe the logo and other stuff like that. You know, people like just gobble that up because, yeah, you know, you can only have so many red and black and gold things. I mean, yes, we love these colors, but I mean, I'm starting to, yeah, like, only have those colors in my wardrobe, and like, we're both wearing red shirts right now. It's like, we can only have much red too. Like, it's definitely, yeah. I already have way too much.
And like, and you and I don't necessarily go out and buy every kit, right? And that's, you know, but it's like, it seems one of the things that I find interesting about this so-called controversy is that it seems almost that it's a near consensus that the favorite kits among the fan base are the OG kits and maybe the white and gold, which to me are the most basic kits. Like, I, you know, like, they're fine. Like, I get, like, okay, for an OG kit, you don't go too crazy. You just go with the basic colors way. Like, this is what we're about. Like, this is going to be our, you know, basis. But I don't necessarily want to see that, like, every, you know, time after time, right? Like, so I don't mind the change up in the designs that we're trying something different, you know? Right. I do think they deserve credit for that, especially when, like, at the end of the day, Adidas is the kit sponsor for the league. It's not like that for other leagues, you know? Like, so we're one of two clubs who have a third kit. Like, I don't know. I think Atlanta United, all things considered, have it better than most of the other teams, at least in MLS.
Right, indeed. And so, yeah, with the same people that complained about the, you know, mint kit or the forest kit, about what does this have to do with our colors, and then, yeah, they didn't complain about our third kit that looked like bacon. So, yeah. Like, what? Where's the consistency, you know? So, anyway, right. moving on. So, yeah, we had our last preseason match. It was against the Birmingham Legion. And, yeah, all in all, you know, it, you know, there was a little bit of some luck involved, that first goal. Good pressure by Luis Araujo. But, yeah, And so the back pass by the Birmingham Legion defender just goes straight into the goal. But, you know, catches the keeper by surprise. Good pressure from Araújo, like I said. Yeah, you know, 4-0 scoreline at the end of the day. Maybe flatters us a little bit in the sense that the Legion definitely just started their preseason. And then, you know, we had a pair of 3-0 losses, you know, last Sunday. And so you have, I think, the balance. You have a team that is pretty much getting their fitness underneath them. And so, you know, what there is to maybe pull out from this is that, you know, that goal by Jose Martinez where he finishes with his left foot, you know, at the bottom left corner, like that was a very, very well-played goal there. Sadic to Hosetu, Hosetu with a back heel, and Jose Martinez is able to put that in. Jose Martinez with a brace, very, very encouraging, you know, because you know when Jose Martinez, he sees that back of that net bulge, that, you know, it's a little bit trouble for the opposition for sure. And, you know, also right. Ronald Hernandez getting on the score sheet as well from right back. Also, I mean, I think where he was in that wasn't from a right back position, but he is definitely a guy that has an eye for goal when he's you know, getting there. And yeah, you know, definitely the two assists, whether they're hockey assists or not, for Amar Sadic, definitely that bodes well for his confidence too. Someone that seems like a little bit on the periphery, but you know, could be in line to start the first match against Sporting KC over this next coming weekend. But yeah, what are your takeaways from the preseason match?
I don't know if I have too many takeaways from the match itself, just for the reasons you stated, right? Like, it's, I think Birmingham Legion in that sense are kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of competition versus Chivas and yeah, I forget the other team that we played. But, you know, those teams were in the midst of the middle of their season already. So in terms of fitness, they were ahead of Atlanta United. And then I think Chivas probably is a better team than Atlanta United anyway. So, you know, that was always going to be tough. I think, yeah, so in that sense, like, it is a confidence booster. I don't know if I would read too much into the scoreline. But, you know, in terms of with that being the final preseason match, I think you can, like, kind of look at the preseason as a whole. You know, maybe not, like, what did you learn from what can you take away from it, right? Like, who played a lot, who looked pretty solid. I think you could say Joseph looks pretty solid, looks ready to start day one, and looks to have his legs more under him than last year, which we, you know, we always knew that it would be like that. And I think it's good to see, I guess, sort of this trajectory in that sense. So, you know, coming back from the ACL injury, of course. Araújo, you know, looks... Yeah. I think he's, you know, he looks like he's going to hit the ground running, and he seems like the kind of player that his form can, his good form can lead to a lot of positive results. Like, he could be a game changer for us in that regard. And, you know, as I've said, and others have said as well, that, you know, with him, with a full preseason under his belt, and, you know, him having, you know, knowing the league a little better now, I don't know, I mean, like, I think he could even be an MVP candidate. You know, I was kind of thinking about this too. He almost reminds me of Vela in the sense of a player, first of all, left-footed, right? And then, you know, a player coming from Europe, you know, he has that pedigree about him. He has that level about him, right? Like, you can just, not just in the goals and assists, but his touches, you know, it's like, it's just, you can tell he's almost, he's not too good for the league, but he's almost there. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see his form this season and see what he brings to the table.
That's a really, really good point. Let's stick on that real quick. I mean, because obviously, yeah, being an Arsenal fan, I know Carlos Vela really, really well in the sense of, like, yeah, he I would say Luis Araujo has more of a pedigree than Carlos Vela in some respects, in terms of at least winning, because them, like the club that he came from winning the Uber Eats Ligue 1. I mean, it's definitely, that's, I know, it's just the fact that I have to say that is like ridiculous. But, but it is, like Vela, like he never like tore up Europe, but he was always, you know, a solid kind of like a guy that was an in-betweener, like, you know, could start for some teams in La Liga. But and Araujo, kind of that in-betweener as well a bit. But I would say, that's like a really astute observation, I feel like. But Araujo has a slight pedigree. So in that sense, I think you're right. Like, he could absolutely, you know, be an MVP candidate. I don't know about maybe a Golden Boot winner, but definitely, you know, if he can. Oh, my God. Like, him and Joseph? Ooh.
That's the thing. Like, I don't think he's selfish enough to be a Golden Boot winner. I don't think that's his style, right? Like, I think he's a high goals and assists player. Like, the other comp I was thinking of more specifically for Atlanta United, and I'm sure you agree, like, we've never really found a Tito replacement, specifically Tito 2017, you know, double digit goals and assists. I mean, like, that's a really valuable player, and a player that can take people on one-on-one, you know, like, I think we have that in Araujo, you know, and I'm hoping that we see more of that, because, I mean, I don't know. I think he could be such a difference maker for us,
right? And plus his work rate is better than anyone that we've actually said so far, so definitely is I think we've completely talked up Araujo in this, and hopefully he has a really good season, but
hopefully not in our face.
Oh my god,
clip this and repost this if we're wrong.
Exactly. But So there was, in terms of the lineup, pretty different from what we'd probably expect. Unfortunately, there were a bunch of guys that were missing. You have Thiago Almeida or Almada and Santiago Sosa and Franco Ibarra. They're all finalizing their visas from Argentina. And it's kind of uncertain how long it's going to take. You also have Alan Franco, who will be suspended for the first match due to that red card in the last match of 2021. And then also Jackson Conway. So both of them played with the twos on that Saturday. And then, you also have, like Moreno and Lennon. They're still returning from injury. So, you know, you have kind of a makeshift squad that played this match and probably may start the Sporting KC match. So definitely something almost of a preview to see how the chemistry really aligns together for LA United. But now, 4-0 to end the preseason, I think is a good little like confidence booster. And going into the season against always a really tough side in Sporting KC. But moving on from that, so Dom Dwyer, who also played this match up top with Jose Martinez, which, is definitely a bit strange, definitely happened. And it was, it's something that Gonzalo Pineda has pretty much mentioned that he's very likely to be signed very, very soon. And so LA United, probably technically this week, if it were, I would imagine anyway, it would be this week because the season's starting. But, Kubo Torres, that kind of role essentially would be what he would be on, kind of the league minimum, kind of mentor role, maybe for the younger players, whether it be other forwards or, just other players on the team. But, I guess we could do worse in that, maybe, I don't know, I think at this point, you just take at least a goal and you'll be better than what we were doing in that same roster slot. But anyway, that's no shade towards Kubo Torres, but
It's yeah, I know, right? No, seriously, but it's peak MLS that this mentorship role, you know, league minimum that doesn't count against the salary budget is a thing. I didn't realize it. I didn't see the not counting against the salary budget thing. I mean, like, that's actually, that's a cool little mechanism for like Atlanta United to use.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But yeah, yeah, right. It's like, hey, you want to do this mentorship role thing for us and use it as a way to get back into football, you know, like,
right.
And, enter Dom Dwyer, who, you know, he's had his struggles, right? And then, so of course, like, we had our comments and you say banter about Kubo Torres in the past, but I think ultimately what we can admit is that we never really wanted Kubo. Nobody expected Kubo Torres to play as much as he did, and it was a combination of factors as to why that was the case. Hopefully this time around there's, you know, more of a plan to avoid that. You know, we're going to talk about another player that we were linked to that's rumored that that would help alleviate that. But and then you figure with Austin Conway, I mean, you know, he's been part of the first team for the last season and a half at least. You know, it's, you know, I guess it's, you know, maybe it's time to expect more minutes from him as well. But in any case, I guess having more competition in terms of backup to Joseph, I think is probably the most prudent thing. And Dom Dwyer is like, we learned that Kubo Torres is done. It just is what it is. I don't think Dom Dwyer is quite done.
Yeah, at the MLS level, so, like, anyway. Yeah,
I think exactly. Right. So, you know, like, it's just one of those things where, like, if he can, yeah, of course, anything we get from him is a bonus. But, you know, if he's able to play 30 minutes here, 60 minutes here, that's 30 or 60 minutes that, and be decent, right? Not even necessarily a goal scorer, but just be a decent team player. Yeah. You know, that's 30 or 60 minutes that Joseph doesn't have to play. So, right. Yeah, you know, like, I'm not really against it, you know, like, even with his Orlando ties in the past. I mean, like, good players have unfortunately played for Orlando. That is what.
Now, I don't know if I hope this version of Dom Dwyer is at least somewhat competent, you know, to be able to be that. And I think that's that thing is Dom Dwyer. It's been tough for him to you know, kind of get back to his form. Okay. So hopefully we get some sort of good version of Dom Dwyer, but. But either way, moving on from that, Luca Martinez de Puy, according to Cesar Luis Merlo, is pretty close to signing for LA United. And yeah, it's nearly done, and we will see when that's actually going to be the case. I would imagine probably sometime this week is when he might be announced, with a little bit of a cryptic tweet by Darren Eales. So we shall see, but definitely a Ford, as we talked about in previous episodes, that could help, you know, kind of alleviate having to rely on Jose Martinez for, you know, more than 40 matches or something like that. That would be probably a little too much for Jose Martinez's, you know, knee. But also, you know, moving on from that. There was an article in the, let's see, what is that, how does it say, reporternewspapers.net. It is definitely a weird one, but yeah, Caleb Wiley, our newest homegrown, he gave a little interview, and yeah, he talked about a numerous amount of things, you know, kind of being, you know, the new guy on the block, also coming up as kind of a, you know, not only the academy player, but as an LA United fan, and you know, kind of pretty much seeing the team win. He wasn't part of the team, and he has said that he wants to experience that as a player, and you know, that's exactly what we want to hear, I think. But yeah, there's also the yeah, he said being the youngest player on the field used to intimidate him, because he was, and in terms of for LA United 2, the youngest player to ever play for them. But he said that's no longer. And he said, quote, age is just a number. Now I just go out and do my thing. So, yeah, definitely, you know, a player that will be kind of more third in line in that, probably for LA United at left back, but it will be very interesting to see what he will be able to do. Now, last bit of news is that the Bally Sports TV crew of Kevin Egan, Mo Adu, and Jillian Sakovitz will return for the 2022 season, so that's great to see. Kevin Egan's been getting his WWE on, and that's been quite amazing to see a little bit, man. He's like really spreading his wings now. Like, there's not always been a correlation between WWE and LA United, but Kevin Egan is now mainly that guy that is the connective tissue. I mean, really kind of awesome. Like, really didn't expect it would be Kevin Egan, but dude's killing it. So, either way, just want to give him a shout-out because growing up, definitely, yeah, I liked me some wrestling, so it was definitely...
Yeah. You know,
yeah, it's definitely interesting to see him kind of do that. Who's my what? Who's my favorite wrestler?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really hard question, man. I think I have to go by eras, man. And without this being a WWE show for too long, I'll say I liked Shawn Michaels in the Superkick a lot. Yeah. That was super fun because I could see myself being like a. You know, it's the underdog, it's the, you know, the sweet chin music. It definitely had, like, some sort of resonation to me. Also, being, like, a musician growing up, it's like, yeah. You know, there's definitely, I think, a little
long
bit of that
hair. Sweet
I don't have, I never had long hair, but still, yeah. what about you?
I mean, I like me some rock, of course. Stone Cold.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, right. Oh, I like the High Flyers too, like Hardy Boys. Oh man,
yeah,
those guys with those stunts, ridiculous. Just the
Dudley
Boys, hilarious.
Yes,
every, loved every part of that.
Speaking on that, my favorite finishing move, always like the most thrilling. I don't know if he was my favorite wrestler or anything, but it was definitely like I was always in awe. Billy Kidman with the Shooting Star Press. Oh, that's.
Oh,
that's
man.
A deep cut. That's a deep cut, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like the basically he would go like backwards and then like land on his like almost head and his back on someone's chest, and it's just like how he didn't like just hurt himself terribly every single time.
Yeah.
Is a wonder.
Seriously.
Either way, yeah, excursion from LA United done onto on to the match preview for this Sunday. It's against Sporting KC. It's 3 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah, it's like one of the super rare ones, maybe since like 2017 that we've had the first match.
Like.
Yeah, at you know in Atlanta. So it's like, yo, like we know it's gonna be a blowout. It's gonna be not in terms of like the scoreline, but in terms of like how many people are gonna show up, and that's the hope anyway. And hopefully, you know, all the protocols are under control and all that. But yeah, speaking on Sporting KC, yeah, it's you know Peter Vermes, their head coach, 13 years underneath this man who. Definitely, yeah, one of the best coaches in the league for sure. Or 14 years. That's going into year 14, of course. But, yeah, they yeah, have lost some key players a bit. And, you know, one of them is Ily Sanchez. He's one of their longtime midfielders. Now, also Jalen Lindsay. Yeah, homegrown right back. And yeah, unfortunately, yeah, he has moved on to Charlotte FC. But yeah, they have brought in a couple of key players, Logan Ndembe and Robert Veloder, and also Nikola Vujnovic. And yeah, so definitely they have kind of replenished the coffers a little bit with especially with Vujnovic, the DP forward of Alan Pulido, probably out for the whole year, so definitely you know they need some sort of, you know, a guy that can actually do the job for them up top. And it might be Shelton for them. We'll see. But the predictions are very interesting for this squad. they've gone from, in terms of for MLS writers, they've gone as high as second and as low as 10th, which is like,
yeah,
what? I mean, that's, I think that speaks on, you know, I think, unfortunately, Alan Pulido being likely out for them for the whole year. And so it just makes it kind of hard to predict where they're going to be.
Yeah.
They might be just that kind of up and down roller coaster team in 2022. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely see. But, yeah, I mean, they have a really, like, pretty decent roster. It's just, it's the whole MLS thing. You know, you might have to, unfortunately, you might be a little top heavy. And, so it'll be very interesting to see how they will go about it. But for Atlanta United, of course, with us, yeah, we have, we brought in some players, mainly in Thiago Almeida or Amada that will be tasked with a lot of the chance creation. Luis Araujo, as we mentioned before, a guy that we will hopefully be able to rely on a consistent basis. Obviously we lost Ezequiel Barco to River Plate and George Bello to Arminia Bielefeld, and then of course Anton Walks to Charlotte FC. So there's talent that has left, but Ozzy Alonso coming in, that veteran defensive midfielder definitely will, help not only Santiago Sosa but Franco Ibarra as well, to be able to get them a little bit more kind of that wily veteran experience that they can really glean from. And then also Andrew Gutman, who returns on loan from New York Red Bulls to be our pretty much out and out left back. And so definitely some new faces, but also that I think really could contribute to a really strong 2022 season. Now, real quick, if there was maybe one player of the new guys that have come in that you think would be, might make the biggest impact, maybe not say statistically, but like biggest impact. So Almada, Alonso, Gutman, who would that be?
So I'm not sure. I think Almada would be interesting, right? Because, like, obviously he comes in with that biggest profile. But I am curious as to how the team goes about this and whether, they try to bring him in slowly and maybe go a different approach from Ezequiel Barco. Now, as you've pointed out, it's not the exact same comparison. So, maybe his transition will be a little more seamless in that regard. But if it isn't, right, I think Atlanta United would be smart to allow themselves, not basically put pressure on themselves to play Almada, right? Like, if he's got to come out of the lineup, if he's like not necessarily ready to make a contribution right away, or he needs rest or what have you. At the end of 2018, on the way to winning a championship, Barco was coming off the bench, right? So that could happen. I think Gutman has a good chance to be a regular starter for us. And he was a solid player for Red Bulls last year. And I think Red Bulls defenders in general tend to be solid. So I don't know. I mean, like, replacing Bello is kind of a big shoe to fill. And so I think it's that kind of thing where Gutman could just end up holding down the position for the most part. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know I put you on the spot there, but yeah, I think me personally, yeah, I think Gutman has that that shot of being, you know, a player that, well, I mean, in terms of, you know, direct kind of competition, he's got Mikey Ambrose and Caleb Wiley, you know, behind him. That's essentially, yeah, it's his to lose, really. I mean, he is the guy that's, you know, I think will be the out and out starter. He, you know, offers something different from George Bello, a little bit more, even like, you know, back to goal, a little bit more, possibly even more direct at times, where he's got an eye for goal. And so, you know, a guy that's, yeah, definitely just a little bit more, in terms of maybe finished product per se, out there. So, you know, it'll be, very interesting to see what Andrew Gutman can do. But getting into Sunday then, you know, it will be at the Benz. It likely will be sold out. It will be a great atmosphere. And for all the 17s that have been starved for Atlanta United football or soccer this offseason, it will be very, very great to get out there again. Now, who will be the starting 11? That's what we will try to predict here. And getting through the lines together, of course, Guzan, our captain, of course, is in there. Now that, you know, the defenders and what the shape will be, what do you think?
Yeah, so we saw a fair bit of Hernandez, so I think he'll get the started right back, especially with Lennon having to come back from international duty early because of a minor injury. So I think they probably won't press him into action right away. Of course, as you mentioned, Alan Franco is missing this game due to suspension. And I think Campbell has been playing a fair bit of amount. I think we'll see more minutes from Campbell overall this season. And so I think he'll get the start next to Robinson. And of course, we just talked about Gutman. And I think he will get the start at left back.
Right. And so, yeah, likewise, same thing for me. It's, yeah, you know, I don't think we're going to veer too hard from that that last match in preseason, because how many people pretty much are not match fit, really. And that's really difficult, I think, to really change it around for guys that, you know, haven't really built up that that match fitness. But into the midfield, well, for me, I've got Sadich and Alonso, and then Hosetu probably at that point of that attack a little bit more. But so a little bit more kind of a 4-3-3 of sorts, at least, you know, in my thinking. But who's in midfield for you?
So I am also thinking a 4-3-3 shape. In the midfield, I have sort of the traditional reverse triangle shapes. And so I have Alonso at the sort of flanked by Hosetu and Tyler Wolf. You know, as we've talked about the potential absences of Almada, Moreno, Sosa, of course, Ibarra. So, you know, I think that with that, Wolf actually is a good chance that he gets a shout.
And yeah, into the forwards. Yeah, for me, Araújo on the right. Yeah, I think it seems to be that it will probably be kind of mirroring what it was against the Birmingham Legion. And so Wolf on that left side, and then Jose Martinez up top, of course. Now, who do you have?
So my three up top, Rouge on the right, Martinez in the middle. And so they did say that Moreno was close. And I think they were playing it safe for the final preseason match, but I think there's a chance he will get the start on the left wing.
Yeah. Now, you know, he hasn't really been able to be match fit, really. He hasn't played a ton. So that's where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if we should risk him, but bold from Mark here. And so we will see what happens. Definitely, I could see him coming on for, you know, maybe 25 minutes. And, you know, I think Wolf, yeah, he's got everything to do a little bit here. Unfortunately, it's like, yeah, you know, you get that start in the first match of the season, like, ooh, young kid. I mean, that's some pressure.
Yeah. But
Hopefully he
can, I mean, like, in terms of the left wing in particular, it just seems like, in terms of all the potential options, right, it's Almada, Moreno, Moraini, Machopchol, like, all of them may not be available. So, really struggling. I think, I mean, like, it may be a case of, like, okay, if Moreno gets to start, he plays 45, 50 minutes and it's an early sub and he changed the shape or something. But you know, a challenge for Pineda early on for sure.
Right. And maybe in your formation too, maybe it's Wolf on the left side and then Moreno at the point of the attack, maybe centrally. Or, you know, it could be, Mulroney maybe comes in the second half, you know, for either Wolf or Moreno. You know, obviously he did have that pretty decent preseason match as well. And so, hopefully we shall see. Now, let's get into the score prediction. And Mark, what do you got?
I think our man Joseph opens his account in the home opener. It just feels right. But I think it's going to be 1-1. You know, I think with our absences and SKC too, first game of the season, no Pulido. I think you'll see... a team who set out, I think they'll be happy with the result. You know, and Peter Vermees always has them, you know, always makes them a tough outfit. And I'd expect them to think different from a team that finished third in the West last season. So, I think that SKC will make it tough. And I don't think there'll be anything between the teams by the end of it.
Yeah. You know, I think 1-1's a good shout. I'm going to be just a tiny bit more bullish here. And that we can walk away with 3 points. It will be, in my opinion, probably maybe a 2-1 score. So 3 goals, not too bad for entertainment. So hopefully we can get that in the opening match of the season. The level of, you know, maybe how good those goals will be, I don't know. I think it's going to be some ugly goals. But whatever works, I'll take some own goals. I'll take some, you know, some blunders. I'll take, like, 3 stabs at the goal or, like, you know, 3 bites of the cherry. Whatever it takes. I'll accept the you know, the dub. So hopefully that is the case. What do you guys think? Let us know in those comments below. And that pretty much does it for the episode, except for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, who do you think is going to have a big season for LA United in 2022? Let us know in those comments below. We really, I'm very curious to see who the consensus is amongst you guys in those comments. And, be respectful with each other. Don't just, you know, shit on each other's, you know, players who you think might be. But it'll be very, very interesting. So, either way, that is the episode. And that's it for us today. Remember to subscribe to us if you haven't already. Share this episode and leave us a review and rating so we can pop up higher in your rankings. For Mark, I'm AJ. Thanks so much for listening.